looking for counter-revolutionists to shoot them. I knew it without his explanations. All my forces were directed to assuring them by my conduct that I was a simple peasant hunter and that I had nothing in common with the counter-revolutionists. I was thinking also all the time of where I should go after the departure of my unwelcome guests. It grew dark. In the darkness, their faces were even less attractive. They took out bottles of vodka and drank, and the alcohol began to act very noticeably. They talked loudly and constantly interrupted each other, boasting how many bourgeoisie they had killed in Krasnoyarsk and how many Cossacks they had slid under the ice in the river. Afterwards, they began to quarrel, but soon they were tired and prepared to sleep. All of a sudden, and without any warning, the door of the hut swung wide open, and the steam of the heated room rolled out in a great cloud, out of which seemed to rise like a genie as the steam settled, the figure of a tall, gaunt peasant, impressively crowned with a high astrakhan cap and wrapped in the great sheepskin overcoat that added to the massiveness of his figure. He stood with his rifle ready to fire. Under his girdle lay the sharp axe without which the Siberian peasant cannot exist. Eyes, quick and glimmering like those of a wild beast, fixed themselves alternately on each of us. In a moment he took off his cap, made the sign of the cross on his breast, and asked of us, "Who is the master here?" I answered him, "May I stop the night?" "Yes," I replied. "Place is enough for all. Take a cup of tea. It is still hot." The stranger, running his eyes constantly over all of us and over everything about the room, began to take off his skin coat after putting his rifle in the corner. He was dressed in an old leather blouse with trousers of the same material tucked in high felt boots. His face was quite young, fine, and tinged with something akin to mockery. His white, sharp teeth glimmered as his eyes penetrated everything they rested upon. I noticed the locks of gray in his shaggy head. Lines of bitterness circled his mouth. They showed his life had been very stormy and full of danger. He took a seat beside his rifle and laid his axe on the floor below.
"What, is it your wife?"
asked one of the drunken soldiers, pointing to the axe. The tall peasant looked calmly at him from the quiet eyes under their heavy brows, and as calmly answered,
"One meets a different folk these days, and with an axe it is much safer."
He began to drink tea very greedily, while his eyes looked at me many times with sharp inquiry in them, and ran often round the whole cabin in search of the answer to his doubts. Very slowly, and with a guarded drawl, he answered all the questions of the soldiers between gulps of the hot tea. Then he turned his glass upside down as evidence of having finished, placed on the top of it the small lump of sugar left, and remarked to the soldiers,
"I am going out to look after my horse, and will unsaddle your horses for you also." "All right," exclaimed the half-sleeping young soldier. "Bring in our rifles as well."
The soldiers were lying on the benches, and thus left for us only the floor. The stranger soon came back, brought the rifles, and set them in the dark corner. He dropped the saddle pads on the floor, sat down on them, and began to take off his boots. The soldiers and my guest soon were snoring, but I did not sleep for thinking of what next to do. Finally, as dawn was breaking, I dozed off only to awake in the broad daylight and find my stranger gone. I went outside the hut and discovered him saddling a fine bay stallion.
"Are you going away?" I asked.
"Yes, but I want to go together with these comrades," he whispered, "and afterwards I shall come back."
I did not ask him anything further and told him only that I would wait for him. He took off the bags that had been hanging on his saddle, put them away out of sight in the burned corner of the cabin, looked over the stirrups and bridle, and as he finished saddling, smiled and said,
"I am ready. I'm going to awake my comrades."
Half an hour after the morning drink of tea, my three guests took their leave. I remained out of doors and was engaged in splitting wood for my stove. Suddenly, from a distance, rifle shots rang through the woods.